بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. إخوانكم بمكتبة واحدين بجزر البحر الكاريبي والولايات المتحدة، وتعاون مع إخواننا السلفيين في أستراليا. نرحب بفضيلة الشيخ عبد الله بن صفيق الضفيري حفظه الله تعالى في هذا الدرس الأول من دروس كتاب نواقض الإسلام للشيخ الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى. فليتفضل الشيخ مشكورا مأجورا.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فهذه الرسالة الثانية التي نقوم بشرحها مع إخواننا أهل السنة في أستراليا ومع إخواننا في مكتبة الموحدين في أمريكا، بعد أن انتهينا من الرسالة الأولى وهي القواعد الأربع. وهاتان الرسالتان هما للإمام المجدد شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى وأجزل له المثوبة. وقراءة رسائل العلماء لا شك أنها تثمر خيرا عظيما، فهي قواعد منبثقة من كتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وما كان عليه سلف الأمة. وكل شيء ينبني على كتاب الله وعلى سنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وما أجمع عليه السلف فهي رسائل عظيمة تثمر إيمانا صادقا وتوحيدا خالصا وتمسكا بالإسلام الصحيح، بعكس قواعد المفكرين التي يضعونها من عقولهم وآرائهم وفلسفتهم، فهي تنتج شرا مستطيرا وإيمانا ركيكا وضعفا في الديانة وتميعا في الولاء والبراء. فالموفق من وفقه الله عز وجل وربطه بعلماء الأمة الربانيين. وهذا هو المنهج الرباني الذي رسمه الله تعالى لعباده، حيث ربط الله الأمة بالعلماء، فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عندما ذكر العلماء وفضلهم وأخبر أن الشر يأتي للأمة بعد انصرافهم عن علمائهم واستبدالهم من هم ليسوا كذلك، كما جاء في البخاري من حديث عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إن الله لا يقبض العلم انتزاعا من صدور الرجال، ولكن يقبضه بقبض العلماء، حتى إذا لم يبق عالما اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا. واليوم إن شاء الله تعالى نبدأ وإياكم برسالة مهمة من رسائل شيخ الإسلام، وهي نواقض الإسلام. والنواقض جمع ناقض، وهو اسم فاعل من نقض الشيء إذا حله وهدمه وأفسده. قال الله تعالى: ولا تنقضوا الأيمان بعد توكيدها. وقال تعالى: ولا تكونوا كالتي نقضت غزلها من بعد قوة أنكاثا. وهذه النواقض هي التي جمعها العلماء من خلال كتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، مما جعله الله تعالى مكثرا وهذا الأمر هو الفارق بين أهل السنة والخوارج والمرجئة. فإن أهل السنة والجماعة لا يكفرون إلا من كفره الله ورسوله، ولا يجعلون شيئا مكفرا مخرجا من الملة إلا إذا جعله الله تعالى ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. والخوارج جعلوا من الأشياء مكفرات وهي لم يجعلها الله ولا رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقابلهم المرجئة فجعلوا ما جعله الله مكفرا ومفسقا، جعلوه ليس بكذلك، بل جعلوا أن الإنسان كامل الإيمان مع اقترافه هذه الأشياء التي إما تكون مكفرة مخرجة للإنسان من الملة، أو تجعله فاسقا ضعيف الإيمان يستحق العقوبة على فعله. وتوسط أهل السنة والجماعة بين الخوارج وبين المرجئة، فلم يكفروا إلا ما كفره الله ورسوله، ولم يجعلوا مكفرا إلا ما جعله الله ورسوله. وكذلك لم يتساهلوا في الدين ويعطوا الإنسان مرتبة الإيمان وكمال الإيمان، ولم ينظروا إلى ما فسقه الله ورسوله وجعل ذلك من نواقص الدين والإيمان كما فعلته المرجئة. فأهل السنة والجماعة في هذا الباب وسط بين الخوارج والمرجئة، وما وسطيتهم إلا لاعتمادهم على كتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهذه النواقض التي جمعها شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى هي التي تخرج الإنسان من الإسلام. والنواقض إما أن تكون قولية أو تكون فعلية أو تكون اعتقادية أو تكون من باب الشك والريبة. فهذه أصول المكفرات، فهي إما تكون قولية أو تكون اعتقادية أو تكون فعلية أو تكون شكا في الدين وما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. وليس بالسهل أن يخرج الإنسان من الإسلام إلا بعد اجتماع الشروط وانتفاء الموانع، وأنه يجب الحذر من إطلاق التكفير دون الرجوع إلى العلماء الربانيين الذين يعرفون إن كان هذا الفعل مكفرا أو غير مكفر. ولكن لا بد أن نعرف أن الإنسان قد يخرج منه الكفر، وقد ثبت ذلك عن نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم عندما قال: يصبح المرء مسلما ويمسي كافرا، ويمسي كافرا ويصبح مؤمنا، فالقلوب بيد الله سبحانه وتعالى. والمؤمن العاقل لا يأمن على نفسه الفتنة، ولهذا كثيرا ما كان يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك. فإبرام الإسلام وعهد الإسلام عظيم، وليس بالسهل أن يخرج الإنسان من دائرة الإسلام وهو قد دخل به، إلا إذا فعل ناقضا من هذه النواقض العقلية القولية أو القلبية الاعتقادية أو الفعلية أو على سبيل الشك في الإسلام وما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. ويكون ذلك بعد انتفاء الشروط، بعد اجتماع الشروط وانتفاء الموانع. وكما أن الإنسان لا يدخل بالإسلام إلا بشروط، وهي شروط لا إله إلا الله، كذلك لا يخرج المرء من الإسلام إلا بفعل أحد النواقض، وهناك من الأمور التي جعلها الخوارج مكفرات وهي ليست بمكفرات، وهي فعل الكبائر. إن قال تعالى: إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. فمن فعل الزنا أو أكل الربا أو سفك دم أو أكل مالا حراما أو شرب الخمر أو فعل أي كبيرة من الكبائر فإنه لا يخرج من الإسلام. نعم، لا نقول كما تقول المرجئة أنه كامل الإيمان لا يضره هذه المعاصي، بل نقول تضره وتنقص إيمانه ويصبح فاسقا وهو مستحق للعقوبة. ولكن إن مات فهو تحت مشيئة الله، إن شاء غفر الله له وإن شاء عاقبه. بعكس النواقض، فإن النواقض تخرج من الإسلام إذا اكتملت شروط ذلك وانتفت الموانع. والإسلام دين عظيم، ليس بالسهل إخراج المرء من دين الإسلام. والإسلام هو الاستسلام لله بالتوحيد، والانقياد له بالطاعة، والبراءة من الشرك وأهله. فلا يخرج المرء من دين الإسلام الذي هو هذا تعريفه إلا بأحد النواقض التي سيأتي ذكرها. والإسلام جاء لحفظ الضروريات الخمس، ومنها الدين، فإن الله عظم الدين وعظم ذلك، ولحفظه جعل الله له حدودا. لهذا قد كتب العلماء واهتموا بهذا الموضوع قديما وحديثا، فألفوا فيه المؤلفات المستقلة أو جعلوه بابا من أبواب كتب الفقه بما يسمونه باب حكم المرتد، وذكروا في هذا الباب نواقض الإسلام وحكموا من وقع في شيء منها بالكفر والردة إذا اجتمعت الشروط وانتفت الموانع. وجاء الوعيد في الدنيا والعقوبات الزاجرة على من ترك دينه، مما يدل على عظم الدين. وليس بالسهل والهين أن يستبدل المرء دينه أو يخرج من دائرة الإسلام بأي ناقض من نواقضه، وإنما يحكم عليه بالقتل، والذي يحكم له بالقتل ولي الأمر المسلم بما يبني عليه من أحكام القضاة والعلماء. فقد قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: من بدل دينه فاقتلوه. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم إلا بإحدى ثلاث: النفس بالنفس، والسيد الزاني، والتارك لدينه المفارق للجماعة. فالإسلام جاء بهذه الضروريات الخمس ومنها الدين، فوضع لها حدودا يبقى فيها المرء على دينه، وهذا من رحمة الله عز وجل. فإن من الناس من يجرون إلى الجنة بالسلاسة، فإن الإنسان إذا علم أن هناك عقوبات زاجرة على من ترك دينه فإنه يحتاط ويخاف، وهذا من رحمة الله بعباده أن خوفهم وجمع لهم بين الخوف والرجاء حتى يقبلوا على طاعة الله إما خوفا أو رجاء، وهذا من رحمة الله وحكمته وعلم. وكما قلت لكم بأن الكفر قد يأتي أولا أو يأتي بالفعل أو يأتي بالاعتقاد أو يأتي بالشك، فالردة بالقول كأن يتكلم بلفظ الكفر والشرك غير مكروه، سواء كان جادا أو هازلا أو مازحا، فإذا تكلم بكلام الكفر فإنه يحكم عليه بالردة إلا إذا كان مكرها. قال الله تعالى: ولقد قالوا كلمة الكفر وكفروا بعد إسلامهم. وقال تعالى: ولئن سألتهم ليقولن إنما كنا نخوض ونلعب قل أبالله وآياته ورسوله كنتم تستهزئون لا تعتذروا قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم. وقد يكون الكفر بالاعتقاد، فهو أن يعتقد الإنسان بقلبه ما يناقض الإسلام، كأن يعتقد أن الصلاة غير واجبة وليس لها قيمة وإنما هي من باب المجاراة، مثل ما عليه المنافقون، فيأتي بالأعمال في الظاهر ولكنه من قلبه لا يؤمن بها، وإنما يتظاهر بها ويتكلم بالشهادتين وقلبه كافر. قال الله تعالى: إذا جاءك المنافقون قالوا نشهد إنك لرسول الله والله يعلم إنك لرسوله والله يشهد إن المنافقين لكاذبون اتخذوا أيمانهم جلة، أي سترة يتسترون بها، فصدوا عن سبيل الله. فهؤلاء خرج من ألسنتهم الكفر الناتج عن اعتقاد القلب. وقد يكون الكفر بالفعل، فأن يذبح لغير الله أو ينذر لغير الله أو يسجد للصنم أو القبر، فهذا الكفر من أنواع الكفر العملي بفعل عفوا. وقد يكون الكفر بالشك، والشك هو التردد، فإذا شك في قلبه هل ما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم صحيح أو غير صحيح، هل القرآن هو كلام الله أو غير كلام الله، هل البعث قائم أو غير قائم، هل هناك تم وجود الجنة والنار أم لا، هذا كله على سبيل الشك، يشك في أمر معلوم من الدين بالضرورة، فهذا كفر. إذن فهذه هي أصول الردة: قد يكون قول بالكفر، وقد يكون اعتقاد بالكفر، أو فعل من أفعال الكفر والشرك، أو يشك في دينه أو ما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. فالواجب على المسلم أن يعرف هذه النواقض ويحذرها ويحذر منها، ولا يأمن على نفسه الفتنة، فينبغي له أن يخاف ويسأل ربه الثبات على الإسلام، ويسأل ربه دائما على ذلك، ولا يتساهل في ذلك، وينبغي له أن يكون عارفا بطريق أهل السنة والجماعة، وأن أهل السنة وسط في هذا الباب بين الخوارج وبين المرجئة. وليعلم أيضا أنه لا ينبغي أن يكفر ابتداء من وقع بأحد هذه النواقض حتى تقوم عليه الحجة والبيان، فإن استمر على ذلك وأصر فإنه عند ذلك يكفر. هذه مقدمة مختصرة لهذا الكتاب المهم وهذه الرسالة العظيمة، وسنبدأ إن شاء الله تعالى من الدرس القادم بشرح هذه النواقض، والله أعلم، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.
أحسن الله إليكم ومبارك فيكم ونفعنا بعلمكم يا شيخنا.
اللهم أمين، نحن وإياكم، بارك الله فيكم، حياكم الله.
برعاية الله، الله يسلمكم يا شيخ.
حياكم، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Wahdin Publications in the Caribbean and US, along with our Salafi brothers in Australia, is pleased to have with us our noble Sheikh Abdullah bin Salafiq al-Zafiri, hafizahullah ta'ala, in the first class in the explanation of the book Nawaqid of Islam, The Nullifiers of Islam, by the revivalist Imam Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala. The Sheikh hafizahullah ta'ala began by praising Allah, the Lord of everything in existence, and invoking his peace and blessings upon the messenger, his family, companions, and all those who follow their guidance until the day of resurrection. He then said that this is the second treatise which we are studying with our brothers, Ahlus Sunnah, in Australia, as well as Muhammadin Publications in the Caribbean and US. After having completed, by Allah's bounty and mercy, the first treatise, Al-Qawaid Al-Arba'ah. And both of these, the one which we have finished and the one which we are beginning today, were authored by the Imam and Revivalist Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala. It is by reading the books of the ulama that much good is brought about. And it is by reading the principles laid down in these books, which are founded upon the book of Allah, the sunnah of his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the understanding of them both by our pious predecessors, that much good comes about. It is by reading these principles that true iman comes about and that sincere tawheed comes about, by reading these principles which are founded on the book of Allah, the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what the salaf of the ummah mutually agreed upon. It is the opposite when one studies the principles laid down by the so-called intellectuals and Islamic thinkers. It is by reading those principles, which are not based upon Kitab and Sunnah, but rather on people's own conclusions that they come up to with their deficient intellects, that much evil comes about, and that the iman that's a result of studying those books is shaky, and there's a weakness in the religion of whoever studies them. And whoever studies those books compromises a lot when it comes to his wala and bara. And so the one who is muwaffaq, the one whom is given success, is the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives success and blesses to be connected with the ulama al-rabbaniyin. Indeed, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself who connected the believers with the scholars. When he said, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, ask the people of knowledge if you yourselves don't know. So Allah was tying the people to the scholars, tying the believers to the people of knowledge. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the one who informed that when the ummah fails to do this, when the ummah fails to be connected with its scholars, then much evil will come about. عزنا حديث يقول من صحيح البخاري عن يثوري وعمر بن العاص رضي الله عنه بس يسمه عن المسلم said indeed Allah does not snatch away the knowledge by removing it from the chest of men rather he removes the knowledge by the death of the scholars until there will be no scholar living and the people will take ignorant the people will take ignorant people as their leaders. They will be asked questions and they will give answers with no knowledge. Therefore, they will go astray and they will lead others astray. Today, we are starting a new treatise and it's a very important treatise. It's also by Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. The title of the treatise is Nawaqid al-Islam or the Nullifiers of Islam. The word nawaqid is the plural of naqid. And naqid is something which performs an action. It's something which undoes something else or destroys something else. So a naqid is something which performs the action of undoing something which has been tied or put together or destroying something which has been built. Zara says, وَلَا تَنْقُبُ الْأَيْمَانَ بَعْدَ تَوْكِيدِهَا Do not undo what you have sworn to after putting emphasis on it. And Allah the Exalted says, وَلَا تَكُونُ كَالَّتِي نَقَضَتْ غَزْلَهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ And don't be like the one who, like a woman who had knitted something strongly. She had perfectly knitted something. And then undid it all. So this is part of what shows us what it means, what this word nawaqid means, undoing something or destroying something. This is what the treatise is dealing with. Those things which undo or destroy one's Islam after having entered into the religion of Islam, those things which would remove a person from Islam, break down and undo their Islam. The issues laid down in this treatise, these nawaqid, the nullifiers of Islam, written by Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah. These are found in the Book of Allah, in the Sunnah of His Master, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they are the things that Allah Himself and His Master, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, informed, undo, destroy, or nullify one's Islam. And these nullifiers show us the clear difference between Ahlus Sunnah and those who have went to extremes. Ahlus Sunnah, always the ones who take a middle path. There are always people who go to the far right or far left, going to extremes. In this case, the ones who have gone to the far right, the extreme, are the Khawarij, when it comes to the things that nullify one's Islam. And the ones who have gone to the far left, when it comes to the nullifiers of Islam, are the Murji'ah. Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah have taken a balanced approach between the two. Whereas the Khawarij say that everything nullifies Islam. And the Murji'ah say that nothing nullifies one's Islam. Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah don't claim that anything nullifies one's Islam and removes one from the fold of the deen. And leaves one a disbeliever, except by doing that which Allah Himself informed nullifies one's Islam. Or His Messenger Himself informed nullifies one's Islam and removes them from the fold of the religion. Whereas the Khawarij said that there are things which nullify one's Islam and remove them from the deen, yet Allah and His Messenger never said this. And the Murji'ah say that even if a person does what Allah did inform, removes one from the fold of Islam. And what His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did inform, nullifying one's Islam. They say that that doesn't make them a disbeliever. And that even if they commit that sin, that their Iman is complete. There are sins which if a person commit them, they are removed from the religion. They remove themselves from the religion of Islam. They leave the religion by committing it. There are others which simply make the person disobedient and sinful if they do it, and deserving of a punishment. So not everything removes one from the fold of Islam, but there are things that do. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah take a middle course. Say that those things which Allah, His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, informed, remove one from the fold of Islam, indeed are nullifiers of the religion. And a person should not go to extremes, making everything, making takfir because of everything. Nor be too negligent and lazy in saying that it doesn't matter what a person does, he never leaves the fold of the religion. Rather, we should take a middle course. There are sins that, when performed, they do decrease one's iman. They do leave a person sinful and rebellious. And his iman does not remain intact if he commits such a sin. That's what the Murji'ah say. That a person, no matter what he does, that his iman is complete. So Ahlul Sunnah and Jama'ah have a balanced approach when it comes to these nullifiers of Islam, which we're going to be studying. And this balanced approach is based upon the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The nullifiers of Islam, collected in this treatise by Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, they are the things that actually remove a person from the fold of the deen. And there are four categories. These nullifiers, the sins which nullify one's religion and remove one from the fold of Islam, are of four categories. They are either statements, beliefs, actions, or doubts. These are the four categories nullifiers of Islam. Statements, beliefs, actions, and doubts. And so these are the foundations, the main things that make up the nullifiers of Islam. All of the nullifiers of Islam fall into one of these four categories. So there are some statements that people make that remove them from the fold of Islam. There are some beliefs that people hold in their hearts, which take them out of the religion. There are some actions that people do, which remove them from the religion of Islam. And there are some doubts that people have in their heart about what the Messenger came with that would render them disbelievers. It's no easy affair to remove some person from the fold of Islam. It's not something easy. And it never happens. No person ever leaves their religion. Even by doing one of these, something belonging to one of these four categories, unless there are certain shurut present, certain prerequisites present. And there are certain mawani' that are not present, certain things that prevent. So there are certain prerequisites and certain preventers. Prerequisites that must be present and preventers that must not be present in order for a person to actually leave the fold of Islam and nullify his Islam by doing one of these nullifiers. It's an obligation to beware of these things, to beware of the things that nullify one's Islam. And we should also beware of making takfir of others, even if they perform one of these nullifiers, without first consulting the ulama rabbaniyin. We know that indeed a person could leave his religion, as the hadith in the Messenger, that a person will in the morning be a Muslim, in the evening be a kafir. But another person will in the evening be a disbeliever, and in the morning be a believer. And so the hearts are in the hands of Allah. Allah is the one who changes people's hearts and allows them to see the light of Islam and enter it, or because of their sin and transgression, to leave the religion of Islam. May Allah protect us from that. The believer, the intelligent believer, is the one who never feels safe of fitna afflicting him. The believer never feels that I've got this. I'm on the straight path. I'm never going to fall off. The believer is always afraid that he might slip off the path, that he might fall into one of these nubuwwahs. So the believer always asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for thabat, for remaining firm on his deen. And it was very often, very frequent, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make dua saying, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. O changer of the hearts, make my heart firm on your religion. The covenant of Islam, making that covenant, that pact, that causes one to enter into the fold of Islam, is indeed a great covenant. And it's no easy affair for one to leave the religion and break that covenant. This does not happen. A person does not nullify his deen, except when he does one of these nullifiers. Whether they're verbal, whether they're creed-based, whether they're actions, or whether they're doubts. Doubts about what the Messenger came with and taught. Unless there are certain prerequisites which are present and preventers which are not present. Just as a person does not enter into the religion of Islam, except until and unless there are certain prerequisites which are present, likewise a person never leaves the religion of Islam, even by doing one of these nawaqid, until these shurut are present, these prerequisites and the mawani', the preventers, are removed. There are certain sins which the Khawarij made nullifiers. They claimed were nullifiers. Certain sins that Muslims may commit, that the Khawarij say, whoever does this, he's a disbeliever. And the reality is that these sins are not nullifiers of Islam. That whoever commits these sins does not leave the religion of Islam. Yes, they are major sins, they are disobedience to Allah, but they do not remove the person from the fold of Islam, because they are less than shirk. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Indeed, Allah does not forgive that partners are ascribed to Him. Aside from that, He forgives whomever He wishes. So there are sins which are less than that, as Allah says. He forgives aside from that, aside from shirk, whomever He wishes. So there are sins which are less than shirk, aside from shirk, that He may forgive. He may punish the person, or He may forgive them for that sin. Sins like adultery and fornication. Sins like using riba, usury. Sins like shedding blood of others. Sins like eating wealth in a way that's haram, stealing and the likes. Sins like drinking alcohol and using drugs. These are major sins. A person may be punished on Yawm al-Qiyamah for committing these sins. However, these sins do not remove one from the fold of Islam. They do not nullify one's Islam, like the Khawarij say. The Khawarij say that anyone who does one of these, kafir. We do not say, like the Khawarij say, that whoever commits one of these sins is a disbeliever. Likewise, we don't go to the other extreme, like the Murji'ah say, when they claim that whoever does one of these sins, then his iman is completely intact. That his iman, no difference between him and the person who was the pious, most pious of people. These are two extremes. We don't say that whoever commits these major sins is a kafir, and we don't say that whoever commits these major sins is complete in his iman. Rather, his iman has decreased by committing these sins. He is sinful, he has transgressed, and he is deserving of a punishment. However, whether or not he actually gets punished in the afterlife is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is what's called تحت المشيئة. He is under the will of Allah. If Allah wills, He will punish him. And if Allah wills, He will forgive him. And so these major sins are different from the nawaqid of Islam, the things that nullify in Islam. Whoever commits a major sin will possibly be punished. If Allah wills, He will forgive him. If He wills, He will punish him. The nawaqid of Islam, the nullifiers of the Islam, are different. They remove one from the fold of the religion if certain prerequisites are present and certain preventives are removed. The religion of Islam is a great religion, and it's not no easy affair to remove one from that religion. Islam is submitting to Allah with Tawheed and submitting to Him with obedience and disassociating oneself from shirk and the people of shirk. A person does not leave this religion except by doing one of the nullifiers of the religion. And indeed, the religion has come for the purpose of protecting certain necessary things, certain very important things. There are five of them. For amongst these five important things that the deen came to protect are the deen itself. There are certain guidelines and regulations in the religion to ensure that a person doesn't leave the religion. The most important thing is preserving one's faith so that one can meet Allah and be safe when He stands before Him for judgment. Allah has made great the affair of the religion, and He Himself has protected it with certain guidelines. The scholars have written about these guidelines, past and present. They have written separate books just about this subject, or they have included them in larger books and made a chapter on this subject. So, for example, you will find books only about Nawaqid of Islam, the nullifiers of Islam. In other books, you will find larger compilations that have chapters that are called, for example, Hukm al-Mu'tad, the ruling on the apostate. In these chapters, the chapters that mention the rulings on the apostate, you will find the different things that nullify one's Islam, that if a person does, then they are rendered an apostate. And again, this judgment is not made unless certain prerequisites are present and certain preventers are removed. There is a strong threat put forth even in this life for the person who leaves his religion. And thus, it's no easy affair. It's no small thing for a person to change his religion, and for the verdict, the legal verdict to be pronounced on him of apostasy. The legal verdict of apostasy being pronounced on someone, which is a legal verdict to be passed by a judge in a court of law. This is nothing simple. This only takes place under the guidance of an Islamic judge and scholars who oversee the process. It's not an insult which is said to people. This is a legal ruling which is pronounced. Apostasy is a legal verdict, and is based upon the statement of the Messenger of Allah, بَدَّرَ دِينَهُ فَاقْتَلُوهُ. Whoever changes his religion, kill him. He said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم إلا بإحدى ثلاث. The blood of a Muslim is not permissible except by one of three. الثيب الزاني. The person who is married or has been married and commits adultery. والنفس بالنفس. And a life for a life, capital punishment for murder. والتارك لدينه المفارق للجماعة, and the one who leaves his religion and separates himself from the جماعة. So this is the legal verdict for apostasy. It carries capital punishment. Islam has guidelines in place to make sure that a person doesn't fall into this grave sin, apostasy. These guidelines are put in place so that even those who have some tendency towards disobedience will remain in the fold of the religion. And these guidelines are from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are some people who will be dragged into paradise with chains. There are some people who will be dragged into paradise with chains. Meaning, even though they want to commit those sins, they want to do the actions that lead one to the hellfire, these guidelines are in place to tie them up with chains and drag them into the hellfire, into the paradise, into Allah's paradise. And these guidelines being in place, these chains being in place, are part of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His servants. So some people will submit to the guidelines of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping for His reward. And there are others who, fearing the punishment in this life, just because they are afraid of the punishment in this life, they will submit to the regulations and guidelines of the religion. And this is part of the mercy of Allah, that people fear what might happen to them in this life, so they'll comply, and they will get the best of the afterlife for complying. This is part of Allah's mercy. And so, we have a joint fear and hope. We have a joint fear and hope that compels a person to remain obedient to Allah. This is both from the wisdom of Allah and the mercy of Allah upon His servants. The things which nullify one's Islam, remove them from the fold of the religion, are either statements, beliefs, actions, or doubts. Saying statements of apostasy, such as making fun of the religion, even if a person is joking, as long as they're not forced to make such statements, these are things which remove one from the religion. So Allah says, وَلَقَدْ قَالُوا كَلِمَةَ الْكُفْرِ بَعْدَ إِسْلَامِهِمْ. And they certainly pronounced the statement of kufr after their Islam. So there are some statements which remove one from the fold of the religion. Allah says, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُونَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ. If you ask them, they will say, we were only playing around, joking. And they made these statements of apostasy. Allah says, قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Say, was it Allah, His verses, and His messenger that you are mocking? لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Make no excuses. You have committed apostasy after your belief. So there are some statements which remove one from the religion. There are other beliefs that remove one from the religion, nullifying their Islam. For example, if a person believed in his heart that it's not an obligation upon him to pray five times a day, this would remove him from the religion. Even if he prayed five times a day, just that belief in his heart that he's not obliged to pray five times a day, this removes him from the religion, nullifies Islam. This is the case with the munafiqeen. They might pray five times a day, but it's just for show. They don't believe in their hearts that this is an obligation upon them, and this is something that brings them closer to their Lord. Allah says, إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ. When the hypocrites come to you, they say, we testify that you are the messenger of Allah. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُهُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. And Allah knows that you are His messenger. And Allah testifies that the hypocrites are sinful. Or that the hypocrites are liars. Allah testifies that the hypocrites are liars. اتَّخَذُوا أَيْمَانَهُمْ جُنَّةً فَصَدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They took their oaths that they swear by as a shield, and so they prevented others from the path of Allah. So they swore by some things. They took an oath. They swore by some things, taking an oath. And this was a shield. They said some statements to protect them as a shield protects a person on the battlefield. They protected themselves from the punishment in this life, the punishment of apostasy, as they themselves left the religion, if they ever entered it. And they, by doing so, led others away from the path of Allah, prevented others from entering into the religion of Allah. The point is that there are certain beliefs that a person might hold in one's heart that are never pronounced, that nullify his or her Islam. And because of those beliefs that are in the heart, many times they will actually slip. There will be a slip of the tongue. Because the kufr is present in their hearts, the kufr accidentally comes out on the tongues. Point being that there are some beliefs which nullify one's Islam. There are some actions which nullify one's Islam, such as sacrificing to other than Allah, prostrating before an idol, prostrating before a grave. These are actions which nullify one's Islam. There are some doubts which nullify one's Islam, doubts which a person may hold in his or her heart, doubts about the truth of what the Messenger ﷺ came with, doubts about whether or not the Quran is actually the speech of Allah, doubts about whether or not there is a resurrection, doubts about whether or not heaven and hell actually exist. Any doubt about something which is known by necessity about the religion of Islam is something which nullifies one's Islam. And so these are the foundation, the main categories of nullifiers of Islam. They are statements, beliefs, actions, and doubts. It's obligatory upon the Muslim to know these nullifiers so that he can beware of them. And never should the believer feel safe from committing these nullifiers. Never should he feel that I'm above doing this, or that I've reached a level where I will never fall into these. A person should always fear, the believer should always fear falling into these. And so the believer should fear committing these, study them to know what they are, and ask his Lord for firmness, that he always keeps him firm upon his iman. A person should never be lazy about that or lax about it. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah have a balanced approach when it comes to these nullifiers of the religion, a balance between the extremism of the Khawarij and the extremism of the Murji'ah. The Khawarij who make everything something which nullifies Islam, and the Murji'ah who say that nothing nullifies one's Islam. It should also be known that takfir is not to be made of a person, even if they do one of these nullifiers immediately. Takfir should not be made on a person immediately, even if they do one of the nullifiers that inshallah we will study in this treatise. Rather, this person is to be informed about his sin, informed and taught, as he may not know. he is to be taught. He's doing something which nullifies his religion. Then after that, if he continues and insists upon committing that sin, that is when the verdict of takfir may be pronounced upon him. This was a brief introduction to this very important book, which inshallah we are beginning to study, Nawaqil al-Islam, the nullifiers of Islam. Inshallah, in our next lesson, we'll begin with the first of those nullifiers. And Allah knows best. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.